Right, well, let's make a start on this inaugural meeting for the Otago Regional Council. Nau mai, haere mai, tēnā koutou katoa. So good morning and welcome to the 2019-2022 Trainium. I want to congratulate councillors on your successful election. I'd also like to welcome friends, family, whānau who have joined us here today to celebrate this inaugural meeting. You're a very important part of the ORC family, and the support that you bring to the Governor's table is very important. This is one of the biggest changes that the Otago Regional Council has gone through, with six new councillors and six returning councillors. And we have an unprecedented work program ahead of us, with significant opportunities to set ambitious goals for sustainable management of Otago's natural and physical resources, but also to deliver on those goals. And it's my honour to chair the first part of today's meeting, and once the chairperson has been elected, I will hand over to him or her to continue the meeting guided by our agenda. So with that, we'll open the meeting. I have no recorded apologies. Just confirmation of the agenda. Were there anyone proposing anything different to the agenda today?
Yes, I will move that this meeting adjourn after the process, Madam Chair, of swearing in the members with a motion that reads that this meeting adjourn for the purpose of discussion between elected members as to the preferred governance structure for the next 3 years, and this adjournment be immediate with the aim of reconvening on this day. I'm happy to speak to that motion, but I'll probably require a seconder for it.
Certainly. So we will take work with that motion after we've sworn in councillors.
Thank you so much.
Right. Okay. Declarations of interest, just a reminder to members of the need to stand aside from decision-making when a conflict arises between your role as an elected representative and any private or other external interests that you may have. Are there any declarations of interest that we need to deal with now? I don't believe so. Okay. And just a reminder, I think you would have had forms from us to fill out, so it would be useful if you could do that as soon as possible, please. We have no request for a public forum, so we have nobody who is speaking to us today. We do have matters for council decision, and the very first matter is the declaration of office by councillors. So in this process, councillors-elect will take the declaration as required by Schedule 7, Clause 14 of the Local Government Act 2002. So what I'm going to do now is ask each councillor to come up and read out their declaration and then sign the delegation. We're going to start with Councillor Calvert, and we'll work down this way and then back up this way. So Councillor Calvert, would you like to come forward?
You'd like me to come?
Yes.
I bring my own declaration?
No. We have one for you. So you just read this and then I'll get you to sign it and I'll witness it.
I, Hilary Calvert, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act.
Councillor Deacon.
I, Michael Deacon, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987, or any other act.
Here we go.
Good. I'm happy to use that one.
Thank you. Forbes. Thank you. I, Alexa Forbes, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act. Thank you.
I, Marion Hobbs, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987, or any other act. Thank you, dear.
I, Carmen Hope, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act.
I, Gary Kelleher, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987, or any other act.
Okay.
So I can read those before we sign.
Thank you.
I, Michael Laws, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties invested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council. By virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987,
I, Kevin Malcolm, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act.
I, Andrew Noone, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties invested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act.
I, Gretchen Robertson, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Informations and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act.
I, Brian Scott, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interests of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties invested in imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act. Thank you.
Kate, do you want to take that?
I, Kate Wilson, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment execute and perform in the best interest of the Otago region the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Otago Regional Council by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act.
Thank you.
Thank you, councillors, and once again, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, that takes us to Councillor Laws's procedural motion.
Second or first?
I'm happy to second that.
Right, so moved by Councillor Laws, seconded by Councillor Malcolm. As the Chair, I've accepted the motion under Standing Order 24.2, Clause A. Under Standing Order 24.1, this motion takes precedence, and we have a seconder. I'm obliged to put the vote immediately. This must be decided by a majority of all members who are present and voting. Members may abstain under Standing Order 18.7. So I will now put this to the vote. All those in favour, please.
Excuse me.
You want to speak to it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, do we have the opportunity to speak?
I don't think you do. I think procedurally I have to put it immediately.
Okay, but certainly as a point of clarification, if you could reread the motion, would be appreciated.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure. All right. So I have it in front of me, I believe. Or is it slightly changed?
No, it has slightly changed.
Right, yeah. Okay. Councillors, please read the motion.
It has slightly changed in response to the concern expressed by some of my colleagues. The motion now reads that this meeting adjourn for the purpose of discussion between elected members as to the preferred governance structure for the next 3 years, and that this adjournment be immediate, with the aim of reconvening on this day. So it is a temporary adjournment that will last for as long as we need it to, but the aim is not to reconvene in a week's time, as was the original motion, Michael, but a little bit later on. It'll allow us to have a discussion, which we haven't had up until now.
Point of clarification.
Point of clarification is, will there be a chair of this meeting?
Oh, I suppose I'll have to be there.
Technically, it means that I am your chair as of this time. And I will just clarify that on its face, if you look at the standing orders, the chair could be said to have a vote and also a casting vote. However, having looked at that more closely and given that this is a situation that is somewhat unprecedented, I am not a member and therefore I do not intend to vote.
Okay, there's a further point of clarification.
Yes.
I read 3.5, temporary suspension of standing orders.
Yes.
Is this a temporary suspension of standing orders?
I do not believe so. I have looked at that in detail myself. Yes. Councillor Calvert, just a point of clarification.
Yes. If this motion goes ahead and is supported, the meeting is then adjourned and then we are free to follow our own rules.
So
I mean, I understand that you would no longer be chair because there isn't a meeting that you would be chair of.
That is correct. It's not a suspension.
But it isn't an adjournment. It seems to me we're just not meeting anymore. So it's, you don't have standing orders when you're not having a meeting.
Right.
Hold on. If I missed something.
Right.
You got it right.
So I will clarify the understanding, which is it's procedural motion. It's not a suspension of standing orders. It does mean that if you choose to go and meet together outside of the formal meeting, you can do that. But of course, you cannot make decisions.
That's correct. Like a workshop.
One point of clarification, Madam Chair. Would this meeting, which appears not to be a meeting, be open to the press and the public? And if not, why not?
So the motion before us is quite simply a procedural motion for an adjournment. It's not a form, and then what happens after that, inside of the adjournment, is, out in my view, outside of the formal meeting procedure. And therefore, councillors have the choice to do as they would wish in regards to the meeting or the gathering that you have that is not a formal meeting of this council. But I do stress that you cannot make decisions in that meeting. Okay. Are there other... Councillor Scott?
Yeah. Madam Chair, you've said it's a procedural motion and that we can't speak to this motion.
That's right.
Why can't we speak to this motion?
Because standing orders say specifically that you can't. And that I must put the motion immediately. All right. If there are no further matters of clarification, I'm going to put the motion. Do you wish to hear it one more time? Okay. Could you please read it?
Yes, Council has made a motion to adjourn the meeting for the purpose of discussion. It was quite long. I didn't get the whole thing. Between elected members and the adjournment and then immediate...
Do you want me to read it out for you?
Yes, please.
Okay, that's all right.
Reconvene after the discussion.
Yeah, sure. That this meeting adjourn for the purpose of discussion between elected members as to the preferred governance structure for the next 3 years, comma, and that this adjournment be immediate with the aim of reconvening on this day.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask you to vote by raising your hands while we're going through these procedural matters. It's just a little easier with some new voices around the table to make sure that we get everybody. So I'm now going to put this to the vote. So all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. All right. The motion, is there anyone who wishes to abstain? The motion is lost. Okay. We shall now proceed with the agenda as per your documents. All right. So I now take you to. Paper 5.2, voting system for session appointments. All right. So the job before us is that we need to determine the voting system by which you will determine your chair and deputy chair. Normal standing orders apply, and so I will take the paper as read, and we will now take any questions of clarification. Does anyone have any? Councillor Scott, did you have a question?
No, I was going to put a motion.
Okay. Councillor Wilson?
I was going to do the same thing.
All right. Okay, all right, if you'd like to go ahead and motion?
I'm going to put a motion that we adopt System A, and the rationale for that is that what that means is if there's, for example, three candidates for chair, that the bottom polling chair then drops out and has the opportunity to reallocate their vote. The advantage of that system is that ideally the outcome will be that the majority of councillors will support a chair, as opposed to System B. You won't necessarily get that scenario.
Right. All right. So we have a motion, which is a recommendation for voting System A. What would be useful, I think, would be we have a number of recommendations here. We do just have the motion for the first number one, but we actually have four here. What I'd like to do, if you will indulge me, is I think it makes sense to take actually recommendation two first.
System B first.
No, agrees that in the event of a tie between voting systems A and B, it will be resolved as a lot.
Mm.
So if we take that first, all right, then we'll move to the motion that has been put by Councillor Scott. Would you like to put...
No, I'd like to speak to your recommendation number two.
Yes.
I think that's pretty brutal from my perspective. I'd like to think that in that situation, that maybe at that time it would be appropriate to adjourn and to have a discussion if it was a tie. But simply flipping a coin, I think that's a bit brutal and inappropriate. But that may be the end conclusion.
Yep. So that's just for the voting system. When we vote on the voting system, in the event that we have a tie, it's not the...
Yes.
Yeah. The tie between A and B.
Yes, that's right.
Not between people.
Yeah. Which is why I thought we should do it first.
Yes, absolutely.
Read your papers, Brian.
Well, hang on a minute. Recommendation 2 says that it agrees in the event of a tie between voting systems A and B, it will be resolved by lot. That's described in paragraph 5.
That means if we vote 6-all... then it'll be determined by lot. But we
and I've spoken to the motion, and what I've said is that's a pretty brutal recommendation to agree. And I would like to propose that, in fact, in that scenario, that we adjourn, as opposed to going straight into a lot. And I have read my papers, Councillor Laws.
Sorry, Councillor Hobbs.
So, Councillor Scott, my problem is that we're not talking about people here. We're Correct. Talking about a tie between System A and System B.
Correct.
If six voted for six System A and six for System
okay,
B.
Okay, well, I do apologise. Right. I do apologise.
It's all right.
Councillor
Laws. It's okay.
Yeah. It's all right. It's confusing, I know. I had to read it several times too. All right. Okay. So, can I please have a mover for recommendation number two?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Move. Councillor Laws, second. Councillor Robertson, thank you. All right. Can I have a show of hands, please? So, all those who are in support of recommendation number two, please raise your hand.
I'm not actually. I'm not understanding what I'm voting for.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sorry,
recommendation number two.
Okay. You're right, I'm with you now.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we're doing it in parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've got it.
And okay. So all right. So I'll just read it. Agrees that in the event of a tie between voting systems A and B, it will be resolved by lot as described in paragraph 5 of the report. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Okay. Unanimous. Thank you. All right. Now we'll go to Councillor Scott's motion, which is part one, seconded by Councillor Wilson. I'll just read that. Resolves a voting option for the election or appointment of positions defined by the Local Government Act 2002 as certain appointments, either voting system A or voting system B. And Councillor Scott's motion is for voting system A. So all those in favour of voting system A, please raise your hand. All right. Looks like that's unanimous as well. Fantastic. Thank you. All right. Okay. So we've now agreed on voting system A. The next part is part three, and which says, agrees that in the event of a tie under voting system A, the candidate to be excluded from the next round of voting shall be resolved by lot as described in paragraph 5 of the report. Can I have a mover for that, please, and a seconder?
Happy to move.
Thank you. Seconder, Councillor Wilson. All right, we'll now vote on three. So we're voting on agrees that in the event of a tie under voting system A, the candidate to be excluded from the next round of voting shall be resolved by lot as described in paragraph 5 of the report. All those in favour of that, please raise your hand.
Confused.
We're confused?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. A discussion on
so,
that.
Okay. All right. So what we're saying there is that voting system A is where you you vote and we have the decreasing amount of nominees. Okay? So whoever's at the bottom of the voting pile gets excluded from the next round of voting. But you might have a situation where you...
6-3-3.
Yes.
Okay.
All right? And in that case, what we're saying is we would resolve that by lot.
Okay. The 3 and the 3 would be resolved by lot.
That's right.
I'm not too sure whether I like that. How else could it be resolved?
Well, that actually wouldn't need to... That wouldn't need to be resolved because you'd have 6 as the winner, wouldn't you?
No.
No. Because you're going in...
No, yeah.
You've got to drop out until you've
that's
got
a majority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ryan's point about when he's in.
So can I speak to that motion?
Yes.
Well, exactly as Councillor Wilson said, so, and I apologise again, that my point was in relation to recommendation 3. It just seems to me to be a brutal scenario. So you've talked about 6-3-3, and then we immediately go into a lot, whereas I actually wonder whether it would be good to just have a pause at that point. We may, you know, adjourn and just work this matter through. Ultimately, if through negotiation nothing's resolved, then lot is probably the appropriate next step. So my question to my councillors is whether it's appropriate to pause at that point and adjourn.
Okay, so my understanding... I'm sorry, Councillor Wilson.
It's a procedural question, but I would presume that at any point anyone around this table can call for an adjournment through the chair.
Yes.
And that doesn't require to be a motion, that what Councillor Scott just asked for, that at any time that can happen. But if we didn't do this now, we actually wouldn't have a way of resolving that tie situation. So while I'm happy to consider that at that time, I think that's worrying about it slightly too early.
And I accept that.
Another question, I guess, in that scenario would be the ability of the person who's been nominated to withdraw their name at any time.
Absolutely.
Councillor Deacon. Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm agreeing that there is a, I don't like the word brutal, but I can understand why people like Councillor Scott and Wilson are saying, I've got reservations about this, it doesn't sound absolutely right. But what I'm curious about is to, if we did adjourn at that time, if there was a tie and we didn't want to toss a coin, what are we going to talk about?
Exactly.
What's the negotiation, for goodness sake? You pull out, no, I'll pull out, you pull out, I'll pull out. It seems to me that if the person who drafted this paper had thought it through pretty carefully. We are going to have nominations for the chair. I'm looking forward to that because there's some powerful people putting themselves forward. We're going to be putting ourselves out there saying, I support so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And that's all going to be clear and public and on the table. And we'll have made our decisions accordingly, having listened to each other carefully. So we adjourn and we talk about what? We've done all the talking. Are we just going to repeat ourselves? I don't want to appear to be on the side of brutality because I never have been, never will be. But let's be sensible about this. Let's have a system that actually works with clinical accuracy.
Okay. All right. Any more questions, clarification?
Am I able to respond, Madam Chair?
You have a right of reply.
Right of reply. Yeah, I mean, what we don't know in the initial debate is the outcome of the debate. So what we don't know when everybody talks is how the votes will fall. And so once you have a tie situation, the environment has possibly changed in that context. And people may adjust their vote accordingly, or the people that are standing may say, well, okay, on that basis, and it creates that opportunity. Or you may be 100% correct, Councillor Deacon, that nothing changes or something changes.
I think I'd be 100% correct.
If only you'd voted for that adjournment motion, Brian.
All right. Okay. Just to clarify, you have voted for System A, and System A has the following characteristics. There is a first round of voting for all candidates. If no candidate is successful in that round, there is a second round of voting, from which the candidate with the fewest votes in the first round is excluded. If no candidate is successful in the second round, there is a third and, if necessary, subsequent round of voting, from which each time the candidate with the fewest votes in the previous round is excluded. And in any round of voting, if two or more candidates tie for the lowest number of votes, the person excluded from the next round is resolved by lot, and that's what you're voting on. Okay? All right. Are we ready to put the motion? All right, do you want me to remind you what it is? The motion is, agrees that in the event of a tie under voting system A, the candidate to be excluded from the next round of voting shall be resolved by lot as described in paragraph 5 of the report. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Right. Against? All right. Carried. Thank you. All right. That sorts that out. We'll now go to paper 5.3. Okay, I'm now going to call for nominations for... Oh, sorry, Councillor.
Wilson. Apologies, I've just got a clarification. In the report, you suggest that the people nominated have given the opportunity to speak.
Yes.
But that doesn't, because standing orders where everyone has a right to speak on the actual vote.
That is right.
I just want to check. Cause it,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so in regards to standing orders, yes, you can speak to your nomination and prior to voting. Those nominated will be allotted 10 minutes to speak as per standing orders. And also those who wish to speak in support or otherwise of a particular candidate may also do that. So what I'd like to do first is call for nominations so that we know what we're dealing with, and then we'll move on from there. All right. Councillor Deaker.
I'd like to make a nomination.
Thank you.
I have much pleasure in nominating Councillor Gretchen Robertson for the position of chair, and I give notice that I would like to speak in support of that nomination.
Thank you, Councillor Deaker. Do I have a seconder for that nomination? Thank you, Councillor Hope.
Speak to that?
Yes. So I think we'll take all the nominations first,
yeah.
And then we'll deal with speaking in support. All right. Are there any further nominations?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Marion Hobbs for the position of chair.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Yes.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Noon.
Thank you. Do you have a seconder for Councillor Noon?
Before someone starts thinking about seconding it, I'm not making myself available for that role.
Thank you, Councillor Noon.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Laws.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder for Councillor Laws, please? Thank you, Councillor Calvert. Are there any further nominations? All right. Okay. So, you now have an opportunity to hear from both the nominee and also those who have nominated.
Can I ask if we can rethink that, please? At the last council meeting where the challenger was Dr. Maggie Lawton, or she was the one of the preferred nominations, and the other nomination was Stephen Woodhead, they were given the opportunity to address us all and then for councillors to ask specific questions of those candidates. I think that's a much more satisfactory way in which to conduct this democratic contest than for nominees and seconders to speak on behalf of. And that way we can hear the candidates themselves directly express what their aims and aspirations are for the council over the next 3 years and receive questions from the elected members as to whatever that particular question might be. I think we get into a serious problem if we leave it to nominees and to seconders to conduct the election for us, essentially. And that would bring, I think, this process into disrepute. Far better for the three nominees to stand up, present their vision for the next 3 years, answer questions, and then for the vote to occur, Madam Chair. So I would like to move in that direction. I'd be interested if my colleagues have a view that that might be the way to go as well.
I just take you to standing orders. So just to be aware, the movers of motions can have not more than 10 minutes to speak. They also have a right of reply of not more than 5 minutes. Other members have 5 minutes to speak. And, of course, the nominees, I think, will have 10 minutes. All right. And what you're saying, Councillor Laws, is that you want to be slightly more flexible than that.
No, I want to be a bit more formal than that. I want all three candidates to be able to address the meeting.
Yes.
To be able to answer questions and then for the vote to occur. But at the moment, what we're going to have is nominees and seconders, so that's six people, involved in essentially a lobbying exercise when really it's for the three people who are nominated to convince their colleagues that they are worthy.
It is a lobbying exercise.
But a much more direct one.
So, understanding orders 20.4, you can always ask questions of clarification, which I think is what you're asking for. That's the Calvert.
I'm not sure that they're questions of clarification. What they are is much potentially broader than that, especially since half of us are new.
Correct.
And if any of the new ones are ones who have been nominated, which we have, then the questions are not going to be sort of as tightly formulated necessarily as a clarification question. They're going to be a genuine question about what are you going to do if I vote for you. So it's a sort of a, isn't it a different thing?
Councillor Wilson and then Councillor Robertson.
I'm happy if it assists to move that we adjourn standing orders in order to instead put in the framework that Councillor Laws just suggested as an alternative to progress this, if that assists the process.
I'd second that.
Right, we now have a motion and a seconder. You can each speak once to that. So if you would like to let me know, Councillor Robertson and Councillor Scott.
My feeling is that we have had quite a bit of discussion amongst ourselves, actually, and today is the chance to have a vote, and we actually just had a discussion on whether we would adjourn and have discussion amongst ourselves, which was lost. I would like to see transparency to the public today, and if anyone has questions or anything they would like to ask candidates, clarification. I imagine we'll be touching on a lot of subjects. There'll be plenty of scope for clarification. Then, today would be a good chance to do it. Yep.
Councillor Scott and then Councillor Forbes.
And I can't see any reason why, you know, understanding orders, that the nominator and the seconder couldn't briefly speak as well, if they so saw appropriate.
Yes, and we do have discretion around.
So we don't I would be happiest to go with Michael's suggestion of the nominees standing up and outlining their vision and plans. And I think within that process we'll have plenty of time to be able to, or plenty of ability to be able to say why we've nominated them if we feel the need to do that.
All right. Okay, so we have a motion on the table.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, just can I talk to that since I seconded the motion?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Look, I agree with the motion. As a new councillor, newly sworn in, we unlike previous councillors, we have not had the opportunity to have discussions as a group, which has been unfortunate. So that was really the meaning behind the adjournment session, because we haven't had that opportunity that has been afforded to all other councillors beforehand. So that opportunity hasn't come our way, so I believe that this, in fairness, this is the best way to go forward. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to?
Chair, I'm just a little bit uncomfortable. Again, it's about time. What I would like to see is I like the idea of the person being nominated being questioned, and if any way that could be fitted in to current standing orders, without stopping for an unspecified amount of time.
It's not stopping. No.
Councillor Wilson.
Apologies. My motion is to suspend standing orders, not to suspend the meeting. And so we stay in here. The reason I've put this motion as opposed to accepting the earlier motion to adjourn was that it's about transparency and everyone seeing what and how we're making these decisions. And I think the end result is the same, but I think the focus should be on the people being nominated and what answers they have to the questions that we all may have around this table. So that's why I put this motion.
So this is
my right of reply, I presume.
Okay.
All right.
Clarification.
I'd just like to clarify a couple of things. One is, I'm not sure that we need to suspend standing orders. I think, so what I had been proposing was that the nominees speak, the movers and seconders can speak, and then as a part of the process of going, you know, everybody has one opportunity to speak, and you can ask your questions inside of that one opportunity of the candidates. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it does.
Is that your right to suspend standing orders? So I'm in that difficult position of being both your chair and your chief executive. So if you just accept that I'm giving you some chief executive advice for a moment, which is I don't think you have to suspend standing orders. I think that you can accommodate the process that you're looking for inside of standing orders. It's just that we need to have some order around
it. We do have a motion, though, asking to suspend standing orders.
That's right.
If that's your advice, I'm happy to withdraw on the basis that you've just outlined, as long as we're not here at 3 o'clock this evening.
I would really prefer to start with the nominees and ask question them rather than have 10 minutes for each nominator, 5 minutes for each second, and everybody else has their time as well.
Yeah.
I think we can get through the process if we could hear from the nominees first and question them.
Right.
And if we can accommodate that within the standing orders with perhaps less formality than normal,
all right.
Yep.
That should work.
Okay. So I would propose then we hear from all of the nominees. You then each have a chance to ask questions of any of the three nominees. We then come back to movers and seconders if they wish to speak in support. And then if there's anything further you want to say, you can speak once. After that, and then we go into a vote. Does that sound reasonable? Yes?
Absolutely.
You comfortable with that?
Yes.
Right, okay then. Well, I don't think we need to vote on it, but it's within standing orders. Let's proceed. All right, so we will hear from the nominees, which there are three, in the order in which they were nominated. All right, so Councillor Robertson, you were first.
Right, okay, first up. Well, thank you very much to the nominators that I received today. It's a huge, huge honour to be able to speak to you all today. I really wanted to congratulate all of you around the table as well. It's no mean feat to be elected to a council. It takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of supportive community, and each of you have proved that you have that. I want to thank the staff too, for it's an unsettling period of uncertainty, but it's such an important democratic process, so thank you for bearing with us. I also want to welcome the family and staff. I've got my husband there somewhere. I can't see him.
He's behind
the pole. So welcome to John and Carmen's family and some others as well, supporters as well. Great to see you. So having a look at a snapshot of the ORC, where are we at today? Now this is the exciting thing, I think. We have got diversity. We have got some fantastic people around this table. We've got balance and we've got professional skills. Fantastic. We've got 6 new councillors. We've got 6 returning. We've got all experienced governors. So all of us have had experience around a council or a government table. That is amazing. So, we've also got equal male and female. This is quite amazing. 2010, only 30% women in LGNZ across New Zealand. 2019, this election's, that's 42%. We're 50%. Gee, Parliament's 38 and the private sector's 24. We have really actually achieved something pretty special. And what all of this collectively means is robust decision making. So wow, fantastic table. Staff, well, we have now a full contingency of directors, Nick, Gavin, Sally, and now Gwyneth and Richard as well, a fantastic team. An established CE in Sarah. She isn't new, she's established. We have a wonderful team of staff. They are very dedicated to this organisation and we are in a good place. We are green for go from this day on. I feel confident in a really good triennium. We are poised for a great 3 years, but only if we can generate enthusiasm, and I think we've got that. We can generate team. We can build on our individual strengths, but only in synergy. But most importantly, we must do things differently, and I stress that. It's not about the same. We have to look really closely at ourselves and do things differently. We need to focus not on structures and the way everything works, but vision, and it needs to be a shared one. We need to create team. That starts today. I've long observed this organisation. I've had the benefit of doing that. I guess you'd call it benefit. We've had actually a lot of success. I want to say that. We have. We've had a lot of mistakes too. We need to learn from that. I do want to touch on success because it's important too. If I'm going to be a leader of this organisation, I want to be thinking about success and building on it, but I want to be learning from it too. Bus patronage is up, and we're looking at electronic ticketing. We'll have a lot more data, but we've got a long way to go too on public transport and obviously working with our TA partners, something that needs more work. Civil defence, we've managed to build a regional collective there. That's a big step. A lot more needs to be done in terms of community planning. Leith Flood Scheme. Actually, as Dunedin grows at the moment, with university expanding and the hospital, I feel very proud of that scheme. We've placed ourselves in a really good position, and doesn't it look fantastic every stretch that's completed? The port. Gee, we have to be proud of that. It doesn't just happen by accident. And what can we do next? Can we add value? What can we get more out of our relationship with the port so the community can receive more benefit? We need to think about that. A pest plan. We've got that. We've just done that. But actually, the important thing is implementing that. We're very good at doing strategies and plans, not so good at the actually doing sometimes. So that's something that needs to be looked at. Harbour Master, that's a fantastic thing we've been doing. Eco Fund, awesome. 6A, and I am going to go there. I think there has been a lot of success with 6A. We managed to get a diverse group of community together with a collective vision for improving water quality. And there has been, I think in last lock, 40 catchment groups created across Otago. Fantastic, but some problems with 6A too. We're not too sure how we monitor success and we're not too sure how we enforce it. And we need to move into a new realm of planning. So let's look at the success. What things worked well, what things didn't work well. That's a great example of doing that. However, we'd be stupid not to think that ORC doesn't face huge challenges. We need to reflect on how to do better. Community needs us to step up, and I do want to see real differences. So, 5 key concepts that I support in this space. Building team. You're never a leader without achieving and being part of an effective team. Councillors are part of that, staff are part of that, and community are part of that. We have to be listening, we have to searching out all the facts, and we need to be making decisions. They need to be strategic decisions. That's great. Well, if we get to that point, the really important bit is the doing and implementing. That's something we need to give a lot of focus to. Let's do that together. All councillors' skills need to be used. All need an opportunity to lead. Look, there's no junior councillors around this table. We're all experienced governors. Let's use us. Our team does include community, and I'm conscious that I think an independent leader would be useful in engaging with all types of community. I like the idea of portfolios for councillors. Second thing, we need to be way more strategic. Strategy and planning. I know staff have signalled this is something I'd like to see as well. There's a lot of it coming at us from central government, a lot of thinking and planning in a policy framework. Our job at this council, we've got a lot of data. We need to turn it into information. So that's different from just having data. What issues are we facing? And then sensibly creating strategic policy and putting it into place. Not just gathering a whole lot of data, that's lovely, and we've done our job. It needs to actually be really well thought out and governance input into that, and we've lacked that at times. The third thing I think this council really needs to focus on is doing the do. For too long, in the eyes of the community, we've mucked around, to be honest. And the eyes of the community are what's really important. Water quality, they see that as a mucking around. Okay? We have done 6A and we got a collective vision, that's great, and some wonderful people have sparked off some great initiatives, but where to next? We're kind of floundering. We're mucking around. We haven't engaged well with those catchment groups and we've had different responses to it. Okay, deemed permits, again, in the eyes of the community, we've mucked around and we all have to take responsibility for that, and I do. Could have been stronger. Agree. We've not been supporting the community. They've been banging on our door to be involved in biodiversity, biosecurity, water, air. Been getting on with it themselves. Community's actually ahead of us in a lot of these spaces, and that's not okay. We've been mucking around. We don't want to be beating ourselves up, though. We just need to be getting on with turning this around. We're going to have a churn of policy coming at us. This is going to be frightening for community. There's going to be some problems with wellbeing, a lot of anxiety, and I think that we need to turn our reputation around, and starting to do things will really help. When you're lost in a sea of policy, that's quite hard. But if you can see concrete things where you can make a difference, you can join a catchment group. It'll be supported by the ORC. We're going to get on with doing things that make a difference. Those types of small initiatives, investments in community, are so crucial at this time. Now, another thing, we do need to have a focus on being accountable in that space, so I'd like to create a committee or something similar with partnerships, engagement and programs as its focus. It needs to have subcommittees or portfolios of catchments, biodiversity, biosecurity, urban development, climate and communication. I'm very open to other councillors and the team working on these, though. These are just full priorities promised under the LTP, so we have to deliver them. And the way we communicate, I feel, is really important. I'd actually like to see members of the community involved in them. We can have whoever we like on subcommittees. Why not use the best people out there in our communities? Why not use catchment leaders? Why not use predator-free Dunedin? These people want to be involved. Why not use university professors who keep asking to give us, you know, be involved and give us the gift of their knowledge as well. We need clear, reasoned and enforced rules as the next thing. The rubber hits the road in this triennium and we've got our backbones. We don't want to be blindly creating or enforcing our roles, okay? We need to be strategic, like I said. Regulatory committee before was a lot of kind of ticking of boxes of yes, we've received this many consents, etc. let's turn all the data around on the consent monitoring and analyse what we've got in Otago. So, okay, how are wastewater plants performing? How are the, you know, air discharges going? Have we got rid of all those coal boilers yet or not? We don't know that yet round the table. We haven't been analysing our data. We don't know how to create effective policy unless we do that. We need clear, reasoned and enforced roles. Roles come from knowing that. We need to retain a clear regulatory committee and focus on that, I think. We need to harness the strength of our communities, and this is a really crucial one. We're local government, we're for local people. If we can't trust our communities' decisions, who can we trust? It's the whole essence of being local government. Change is what we're about. We're about creating change in communities, and actually, people have to want to change to actually do it and invest in it. So we have to be behind people, supporting them to want to make those changes. I will prioritise re-establishing community relationships, and it is absolutely fantastic to hear from every one of you that that's your focus as well. We're going to be a great team, I think, in doing that. These relationships aren't just shaking hands and saying, well, we're mates now. They have to be meaningful, and like I said, they have to be about doing the do. So if we go and shake hands, we have to then come in with what are we actually doing in this space and clarity. So I think councillors know me, a bit about me. My family background, okay, mum and dad probably from a rural sort of background. Mum came from a farmer to Marama. My father's father worked for Wrightsons. My dad became an environmental scientist. My husband, he works for a forestry company and he farms coda, which are freshwater crayfish. So, yeah, we got a bit of a connection to, I guess, primary sector in a funny sort of way. But also, I'm an environmental scientist, I suppose you could say. I had a water quality science background. I moved quickly into integrated catchment management. Along with Kate Wilson, we were involved in establishing the first project of integrated catchment management in New Zealand, which became a model for many others throughout the country. I've been a commissioner, involved in quite a lot of hearings. What else? I've been involved in the council, as you know, and I'm not going to go through all the committees and things I've been involved in. I just want to let you know that I will stand up for you around the table, and I will do it in a collective manner. I was elected in 2004 when I was 26, but I've never felt better about the organisation. At a time of developing policy pressure, ORC needs an independent leader who can relate to all types of people, build a team and inspire action. It's a really difficult task you've got before you today. Your job is to choose who that is, and I really respect your decision, whatever it'll be, and I just want to work really proactively with you to create a team. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Councillor Robson. Right, we'll move to our second nominee, Councillor Hobbs.
Is it okay if I stand?
Yes, of course.
Like you really
go for it.
On these occasions, I'm not used to sitting to debate. Arlings, well, I'm Marion Hobbs, and what do I want if I were elected chair? And actually, it's the same thing as I want as a member of the council. I want enormous progress on water quality and access and the consequent land use, very much so. I want work done thinking about climate change, both mitigation and managing the effects, and also, in what we have the ability to do, being able to lessen the amount of gases that we're responsible for. And since we've got buses, we have an opportunity there. There is much that I do not know, okay? And I really want the induction process. For me, it's not just another trip, Hilary. For me, it's something really important in about learning what actually goes on in the council, actually, and how it's put together. I read the plans. I've got lots of questions. I'm going to bore people stupid as we go through, always asking the obvious questions. In fact, some people know the story, others don't. When Helen Clark said to me, would you be the Minister for the Environment, I said, I'm arachnophobic. She said, that's conservation. I said, I only got 13% in school chemistry. She said, please don't tell the reporters. I just told them. And the first things I had to deal with were climate change and genetic modification. So I had to learn, and I learn by asking questions. I do not think that I have inside me all the wisdom of how we manage a region. Okay? I do it by that way. The second thing I want to talk about is how. I have an experience of leadership. Probably most of my life has been in a leadership position. The first one that was most significant for me was being principal of a school. I went in for the interview not expecting, I thought it was a practice interview, because I'd been advised to go for the job as practice, and I got the job. And that kind of brought me up short. In the first year, the kids and the parents loved me. The staff couldn't stand my guts. And I realised that I had walked all over the top of them. And I learnt to work with them and became part of a group that was called Shared Decision Making. It was analysed by psychologists. There were about six schools in New Zealand that did it. Our results rocketed. Attendance at school rocketed. In other words, working with people actually brings about the results and the drive that we need to accomplish what the community wants from us. So I believe very strongly in working with. So it begins with councillors. I'm the chair, not the boss. You're the council, okay? We have to work out where we're going. Lots of you have got all sorts of really good ideas about different committee structures. That's what I want to be able to do, is to work out with you, and you to dictate to a certain degree, by working together, what works best for all of us. It won't be me saying, this is the way we will go. I want to work with staff. Not by necessarily agreeing. I don't roll over and get my tummy tickled. That's a terrible thought, actually. It's not a very good image. I don't do that. But I do want to be able to question. And I take you back to being those early years as minister when I didn't know very much and I had to question. And I had to question and I wanted people to argue in front of me so that I could see the different opinions and could actually assess what was going on. Very much opposed to that thing which sort of produced one cabinet paper up to a minister because they thought that was how the minister wanted it to be. I want to see the arguments that go on before that. And I want to work with communities. If there's one thing that I think we may have worked with communities, but I don't think other communities know that we work with communities. Does that make sense? I think that there's a feeling out here that we are separate from the community. So I think that we really need to engage. So what I'd like to see in those, now I'm going to get names incorrect at this fence, but in the catchment areas, when we're working, say, on water and on land use, and we are working with people, I would want the staff there, but I would like us to be there, the councillors or the appropriate councillors are there, to actually have the kind of the political discussion, not the scientific discussion, but the political discussion, if you get what I mean, the difference that goes in between. And because it needs both to be in there and that to be transparent and to be open. The last thing is for whom? I would like to be chair of the Otago Regional Council working for Otago. And that means rural Otago and urban Otago. Okay? When we talk about the environment, we often think about the rural environment. And I actually accept what farmers say, that there are huge water issues right here in Dunedin, okay, and we have responsibilities that we have to do, and we have to work very closely with DCC. And when I think about waste and where it is deposited, I don't want to think about that too hard. And of course, I live, Andrew, in the port. I live, and I love the port. But dear God, that Rio ship just about ruined my sleep last night. That and a gin. So I want to work for Otago, rural and urban. I want to work for our people. And here I will get slightly emotional. When I got elected, my lovely left-wing son, who lives in California, sent me a bunch of flowers from he and his wife and his daughter, Araha, and said on it, "We are so glad you're elected." They never were happy that I was elected to Parliament, by the way. "We're so glad that you're elected because we know you want to work for the things that we care about too and for our future. I want something for those kids. I've got three grandchildren. I adore them witless. And I want them to have a life and a future. So I've come back into politics, in a sense, because I want to drive the environmental issues to do with climate change, to do with land use, to do with air quality and quality of water. And darlings, I'll make one promise to you now. I will forget your names. All right? That's a given. Thank you.
Councillor Laws.
Colleagues, I had no intention of standing, as you know, as chairman of this body. But in the last week, and since making that decision and discussing it with my family last night, I'm not convinced that the change that the Otago population voted for 2 weeks ago will be promulgated any other way than if I do stand. For the six new councillors who are here, when I sat down here at the very first council meeting, there was a movement of that's the way we're always going to do it. And opposite me was a veteran of the Otago Regional Council, Sam Neill. And when I was appointed deputy chairman of policy, I said, "What does that mean?" Facetiously, "Does that mean I should get a new suit?" And Sam Neill said to me, "It means you're part of the B team." And he was right. I was. The public of this great province have voted for governance change. In Dunedin, Marion Hobbs and Hilary Colbert polled first and second, and well, because they were seen as the architects of change in that ward. You know the vote in Dunstan. And right next to me, Kevin Malcolm won his particular seat in Moeraki, despite the existing ORC councillor campaigning for his successor. And Kate has come in with a very strong agenda for reform and has always advocated for change required around this table. Well, my argument is that change must start here at this table with our governance. And that is why I believe we need a new direction promulgated and promoted by the leaders of this particular organisation. You know me, I'm a pretty direct talker, so let's go. The last 6 years, the ORC has not covered itself in glory. That's why one of the reasons we have a ministerial inquiry into us from Professor Skilton, the effects of which we do not know. We've just had a disastrous, well, from our point of view, Lindis Environment Court decision where we were found to be wrong. With regards to our consents for the last 6 years, we had to have the Dashmore review because it discovered that there were serious and systemic problems with what we were doing. We discovered that some of our wastewater plants, like Hawea, for example, were being monitored and found to be in breach of our own consents. But dear Lord, did any of the governance team know? No. Those failures were then promulgated most directly last April, May, when the Otago Regional Council stood up in Cromwell and sought to impose unscientific, not knowledge-based, minimum flows upon all of central Otago, the Cadrona, the Manuhirikia, and the Arrow. When we had done none of the scientific work, we sought to impose those flows
in an arbitrary manner that did us discredit. And that was when, I have to say, can I say to the new six councillors, the B team finally found its voice and said no. And the process that we're on now, I believe, is the right one, and I think that's generally accepted. That will probably save us from an adverse finding from Professor Skill. The leadership and culture change has to happen with us around this table. And all I want to say is, when I came into another organisation once as mayor, similar systemic problems were available to be seen and were voted on by the public of that particular place. And one of the first things I realised to do was exactly like Marion. I realised that there were things I didn't know and that there were skills around the table that I didn't have. And when I look at the 12 of us, I know that all the skills we need, Gretchen would agree too, are here. They exist here. But the problem is, I keep on coming back to the need for us to change, to be willing to change. And I don't still see a lot of that. On water, on soil, on climate change, on South Dunedin, we're a long way behind the eight ball still. We really are. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we are a reactive, not a proactive organisation. Can I give you the best example of that? The PEST plan. Here we are lauding it as some great leap forward. No, it's not. Far from it. It's not going to kill one rabbit. We've got a plague at the moment in central Otago. Do you think our PEST plan's going to make a blind bit of difference? Of course it's not. Why isn't it? Because we're saying to landowners, it's your responsibility, not ours. That's the kind of thinking that the ORC has been doing. So instead of being proactive and going, we've got a problem and we're going to solve it, we like to leave it to other people, whether they be individuals or groups or councils, to fix it for themselves. And we've got that problem right across our organisation. Every one of us is a leader. I got elected here by 5 votes at the last election. Here's Gary sitting opposite me. Now, here we are both sitting, Gary. At this moment, at this table, I don't think we would have anticipated that 3 years ago. But I'd also like to honour the people that stood in the Dunstan ward, along with Alexa and Gary and I, because they would have been fine people to have here too. Phil Hunt, Graham Bell, Richard Bowman. There are some magnificent people in the community that we need to tap into and to bring into our council. But let's use them properly. We've been very arrogant and always relying upon our own science. All the really good ORC science staff, unfortunately, whatever we've replaced, are sitting out there working for as consultants at the moment for the organisations that are not necessarily with our best interests. I also want to talk to you about something else that really worries me. The Dunedin centricity of this organisation. Staff are here. The senior management here. The policy teams here. This is the centre of power. But in Moeraki, in Molyneux, in Dunstan, there's a dislocation that the ORC have because of that. When they see the ORC, what they see is Dunedin people in a suit or in a skirt. They don't see people that they can instantly and effectively communicate with. And one of the things I would dearly like to move in the next 3 years, if elected as your leader, is to devolve the ORC into the areas we're doing the work. And that means staff, and that means management, and that means science. And on that issue, can I also say that we are dealing with diverse communities. There is no one community that's exactly the same as the other. One system won't work in just one area. It's got to work and be devised uniquely and differently for the particular situation and the people that we're dealing with. And that's why I've used the word empathy here. The biggest change, though, I guess, I would really like to see over the next 3 years, and I would do so, is making every one of us a leader. I almost came here going, and one of the reasons I was so reluctant to stand for chair is I don't actually, and here's me, a conservative, saying this, I actually really don't like this hierarchical structure of chairman, deputy, and then 10 councillors when none of us have been elected by the popular vote, except in our wards. It's not like a mayoralty where I can stand as a mayoralty on a platform and say, here's my manifesto, off I go, and then I'm away. Here, whoever's going to be elected as the chairperson hasn't been voted on by the majority of the constituents that live in our region. And so again, I want to go back to changing that leadership structure. I want us all to be leaders. I was sitting in the Dunstan ward for the last 3 years watching the chairman and the deputy chairman have meetings in my ward and not let me know they were there. You know? Meeting mayors and meeting regional leaders and community groups, and I didn't know. Nobody had bothered to inform me because that was the process. We've got to stop this. Right, so that means that in Moeraki, Kevin, he's the ORC leader there, and he's given that leadership responsibility on behalf of us all. It means Kate and Carmen do the job for us in Molyneux. It means Alexa and Graham and I in Dunstan. And it also means, I think, dividing up Dunedin into particular areas and having responsibility as a leader for that particular group and engaging and leading the process of engagement, whether it's on rising water levels in South Dunedin or on buses. And can I just say to you, Gretchen, the quicker we get rid of the buses, the better. For Pete's sake, let's give the buses to Dunedin and Queenstown. They want it. That shouldn't be here. I'm sick and tired of arguing about the bus timetable around this place when we've got really serious and important environmental issues. What can I promise you? You'll all be leaders. You'll all be equal. You'll all be the promoters of the IRC in your area. And you'll be identified as that leader. There will be a reactive council no more. This will be a proactive council on every issue related to the environment, from waste to water to soil quality to air. We will take the proactive stance. We will have communications that are specific to the communities and that work. We will devolve our organisation into the areas where we are working. And finally, we will have a region that is proud of us, because at this past election, they voted for change. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to questions. And if you're in agreement, I think what we'll do is probably just work around the room, unless that doesn't work. But let's start with that anyway. So we'll start with Councillor Calvert. Questions for the three candidates, please.
Slightly different questions for each of them. I suppose that's normal. My question for Councillor Robertson is, there's a variety of ways in which, and I'm just using a short, not to be offensive word here, where the ORC has been a bit of a car crash in the public perception of recent times. You've been deputy chair during the last long enough, so as it seems to me that whoever's in charge at some level is responsible. Clearly the staff aren't, because the staff only do what they're asked to do, and if they weren't doing that, the governance people would be responsible for making sure they did. So if it isn't happening, and it hasn't been happening, and it's all over the place that things haven't been happening, as I say, nothing to do with the staff, because they're doing what they're told, because if they weren't, governance would be telling them different. And you are the person who is the most senior person, second only to one, who's been responsible for all this time, and I'm hearing from you, things are great and wonderful and there's a few wee tweaks to be done, and I'm not hearing the serious things that we should have done differently and that we could even learn from. So I'm just wondering how we'd move from where we've got to your vision, which is a wonderful vision.
Okay, well, I really appreciate the question. Thank you. I did try to convey in speaking before that I do feel that change is needed and that I have been very frustrated for many years. But let's look at that. Yes, I was deputy chair, but we've actually got six councillors as around the table who've all had equal votes on matters and have all been part of what's been described as the past. Okay? All of them. I was deputy chair. Yes, I was. That's because sometimes quite a difficult position, actually. It's similar to deputy principal or... It's quite a supportive role. It's a role where the chair stands back and keeps their palate dry so that I did jobs like being a commissioner, doing things like that. At times that's challenging, okay? Things do need to change, and I wanted to outline that. We've had a difficult period in the ORC, and I think we've entered into a much, much better period over the last couple of years. We're poised, as I said, much better than ever before. And actually, Councillor Laws, I still remember your speech from when we were all reflecting on the previous triennium, which was glowing of where we were. And very positive, enthusiastic about where we can go. So I want to acknowledge that I feel like that about where we are at the moment. But yes, change needs to occur, and gosh, I really, really want to see that happen. Okay, sorry, I'm hogging the limelight.
And my question of Councillor Holmes is that, it being a bit of a potential car crash at the moment and wanting change and things, and clearly you don't yet know enough to know what, and question's always good, are you going to be able to, and what would give us confidence to think that you would, in a shared collegial fashion, change those things and stop them happening, you know, what would give us that confidence?
Okay, I think it is probably the way I try and act. I picked up something that I heard Councillor Laws refer to. There'll be no Team A and Team B, right? I do want it around the table. And the debate will be robust. It will also be science-based, okay? Which I regard as from previous learning, is really important. From previous learning, I got on top of issues quite fast. I can do the work. And although I did get 13% in school search science, I can now tell you what a gene is and how it's modified. But only don't push me too hard. So I can pick up the things, learn them, but I also will want you to, because we've all got different brains and we've all got to come to with the vigour to advance that. So my commitment to you is not that I'm going to do X or Y, it's how I'm going to do it. And that, I think, is the measure of the leadership. All right? That's the best I can do for you. I'm sorry.
And my question for Councillor Laws is, it's all very well spreading sort of geographic responsibility around and things, but when push comes to shove, the A and B team is created by whether you form committees that end up doing, if you were chair of policy, you see, you'd be in the A team. Are you going to allow the people round the table to get in amongst the grunty things, not just the other sorts of areas? Because the person who, by necessity, talks the most to our chief executive and the staff will be the person who knows stuff, and it's only when everyone else knows that other people can make any difference. There's a whole lot of things we don't know, and I think from talking to current councillors, a whole lot of things the current councillors didn't have any idea of, weren't being told. So how are you going to do something about that?
I think the first thing is that we've got to all, I think, accept that we are leaders in our own role and so therefore have the ability to place agenda items on ourselves. At the moment, can I just explain to new councillors, there's a chairs meeting that happens a week beforehand that sets the agenda, and I'm opposed to that. I think it's absolutely critical that every councillor can raise and flag an issue for the agenda. We are all equal status, make that systemic. Two, I'm really quite keen, despite the fact that we'll probably head down the portfolio way, of creating small teams of people who will work together on particular issues. And I see a revenue or work stream, frankly, coming out of the next 3 years where those teams will gravitate towards areas. I know, for example, that Alexa's got particular strengths in areas of related to the environment. Carmen, different strengths again. Andrew, different strengths again. I'd like to see pods of councillors working on particular issues with staff and then bringing those back that way. But I definitely want to get rid of the chairs meetings. I think it's really critical for us to be able to, all 12 of us, put on agenda items that are important and then go off and work on those issues and bring those reports back.
I don't have any particular questions of to do with issues. I think all three candidates for the chairpersonship were pretty explicit in the way they talked about how things need to change. No more same old, same old. And I totally agree with that. The one question that I feel uncomfortable about asking, but it's directed at Councillor Laws. He was equally explicit about how he sees things in the future. With Councillor Laws having had 3 years of sitting at the table with him, it's not the what that worries me, it's the how. And Councillor Laws, as our chairperson, would make me nervous. And I want him to talk to me now about how he would project as a leader. Because quite often as a councillor, he's projected as being sneering, as being smug, as making personal comments. He's been seen to be patronising of staff and colleagues. And all of that is, for me, a real challenge. It's not the what, Michael, it's the how would you be as a chairperson? How would you make us and make the region respect you as a leader?
Can I answer, first of all, the criticism? Because I think it does require to be addressed, and thank you for raising it. It was pretty clear at the last election, when Maggie Lawton and I sat here, that we were not going to be making any traction within that current council, despite raising what we both considered to be legitimate environmental concerns and representing the interests and issues that related to our constituents. And we became combative. Maggie sadly passed away far too early because, doesn't matter, that's another day. And so we became combative because there was no other way of highlighting what I regarded to be the systemic inefficiencies and inequities within the organisation, Michael. And you know that I did that. And I had no option because I was so completely frozen from the process. A process that I do not wish to ever happen to any of these 12 or us ever again. I guess I've mellowed a little bit over the years, Michael. You might find that hard to believe. But I am going to be intellectually rigorous. So papers that come here must be good. We must have good quality information accessible to make good decisions. Now, I guess the answer to your question also is, I put myself up in the Dunstan ward in front of communities that were quite different and disparate. And obviously, they trust me and my communication style. From the urban basis of Queenstown, through to the farmers and the irrigators and the good people of Manuhirikia. So I obviously can prove to you, Michael, that I can communicate across that breadth. But do I need to make personal changes myself? Everybody does. And if you're going to take any form of leadership role, then you have to subsume good elements of your personality on behalf of the collective.
Thank you, that's all.
Russell Forbes.
Can I just clarify first, please, Sarah, that we do get a chance as a nominator to have a statement at some place as well as these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, Gretchen, the first question I put to you is the biggest issue that we've all heard on the campaign trail, and you've well acknowledged it, is the perception that OIC has failed in its duties to our communities and their environments. So as a member of that council for well over a decade, and I know we've traversed this a bit, but I still want to hear it, how do you propose to convince those communities that you can take the council in the new direction that's expected? I'm hearing from you a lot of operational steps.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm not hearing is how you plan to rebuild trust from a baseline that's a long way back from zero.
Yeah.
I'd like to comment on that.
I think the first and most important thing is to actually face up, first of all. I think before that, though, rather than just saying, okay, everyone, we're out there and we're shaking hands and facing up, we actually have to have some sort of shared vision so that we're not all going out and saying different things. So collectively, as a team, what are we wanting to engage our communities in? Not just building relationships for the sake of building relationships, which is really important, but let's have a vision for what are we trying to do. Is it just the things in the LTP? No. What does this council need to do? In building that vision, then, we need to be engaging with community too. So that brings in your strengths as well. So you all know from your community what some of your issues are, but Alexa, I would be asking that you're going away and you're building relationships, you're bringing it back to the team and you're saying, well, okay, these are the biggest issues we're facing. We need staff there with you and all other councillors hearing what they are with their ears wide open, including the leadership. This is what we're really facing. This is the reality. Then going out with our vision, with our aims, with our priorities and engaging more strongly. And as I said to you, when we're doing that, we need to be able to have an agreement on what we're willing to do too. It's all very well to have relationships, but if we're not behind it with doing, that's where we're going to fail, and that's where we've failed before. Because if we're just out there making friends, as I said, that's not enough. Yeah, we don't have integrity as a council. And sometimes it takes time to build. It is operational, but we have to build that behind it as well. It's really important for our council to know that we're not just there at face value. We're actually there with something behind us and planned. So, yeah, it's a long answer, but basically, we need to front up. We will gain respect from our communities, whether it's a hard message, you know, this is the role, actually. It's not going to change, this is it. So how are we going to work together to achieve that? Or it's we can offer you this in partnership. There's different types of relationship. All of them are really important.